Today on Real Radio.
The Ten Commandments of God stand as a constant witness, as it were, against mankind's sinfulness. The Ten Commandments expose our nature. They test our hearts. Listen, they bring about conviction of sin. The Ten Commandments. You're to love God above all things. You and I struggle with that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues his new topical series on a very hot issue, the Ten Commandments. Now, in the weeks to come, Pastor Jack's going to break down the meanings and the history and the language of each of the Ten Commandments, really going to dig into the meat of it, so we hope you can spend some time with us. And today's introductory study continues exploring why we've got to take this summary of the law of God very seriously. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a presentation called Why the Ten Commandments.
But this is very important. In Exodus 34, verse 28, the Bible says Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. Now, don't you try that. That is a divine sustenance by God. No man can live 40 days without water. Moses was sustained by God. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Underline that word covenant. The covenant. God says, this is my word to you, Moses, to my people Israel. God's revelation to man about the quality of his person. What are the Ten Commandments? The revelation of God's person or his quality to mankind. That's important you understand that. Why the Ten Commandments? What are they? They are God's revelation to mankind of his holiness, of his nature. Secondly, can anyone keep the Ten Commandments? Can anyone keep the Ten Commandments? The answer is no. Not even in a physical sense can the Ten Commandments be kept, because even before a man is aware of the very first commandment, he's in violation of it. It not only takes one violation or just one violation of the Ten Commandments to cause man to be guilty before God, but man by nature is guilty of all of the Ten Commandments. So can anyone keep the Ten Commandments? Grayson County, Kentucky, Ten Commandments on display. Next slide. And we're going to end with a great slide here. Haskell County, Kansas. Look at that. Look at that granite. Now look, they're going into the courtroom. Can you imagine going to court and you got your whole lie set up? Okay. And you walk by and you go, oh, rats. Man, look at that. Alabama Supreme Court. Wow. Clark County, Mississippi, Ten Commandments. Okay, hold it right there. I got to tell you a story. That's the U.S. Supreme Court. You know, that's the big place. Notice the crown molding over Moses' head. You see how it's pitched like this? You want to know why? There's lawgivers all around the room. Have you guys ever been to the Supreme Court? Raise your hand. Anybody? You got to go. You should just collect Coke bottles and nickels and make it a pilgrimage sometime. You got to go to Washington. You got to see this. I'll tell you the reason why. Oh, a lot of reasons why, but all of the other lawgivers diminish in size and they go all around the room, okay? The biggest guy in the room is Moses. It doesn't say Moses. He doesn't have a name tag. He doesn't have to have a name tag, because he's holding two tablets. I'm not joking. I'm going to tell you something. You're going to say, no way, you're making it up. No. Lisa and I were there. We watched it happen. They're labeled in Roman numerals 1 to 10. Okay? When you go through the Supreme Court, you have to go with a senior law student as a tour guide. They're taking you on the tour. You walk in, and a guy about three people in front of me, after the guy got done talking, he goes, the attorney-to-be says, any questions? And some guy, I wish I would have asked it, some guy about three people ahead of me said, yeah, who's the guy? Oh, the guy named all the people all around the room, but he didn't name Moses. So this guy goes, who's the guy in the middle? And the guy goes, what guy? He says, the guy holding two tablets labeled 1 to 10. Do you know what he said? My wife and I almost passed out. He said, I tell you what, I'll get an answer for you before the tour is over. I'm telling you the truth. Unbelievable. That is in the Supreme Court of the United States of America, and it's right over the Chief Justice's head. The Ten Commandments, and that was done by design. We're not a Christian nation. What proof is there that we're a religious nation? Can anyone keep the Ten Commandments? The answer to that is no. You cannot keep the Ten Commandments. That might come as a shock to some of you tonight. The very first commandment, God first, with all of your love and all of your action. Listen, when you wake up or when you read for the very first time the Ten Commandments, the first commandment knocks you out. But let's give you the benefit of the doubt. Let's say you kept the first one. And that's one link. And the second one, you kept the second one. Remember Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler? And he says, "What good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus cited all of the lower six of the Ten Commandments. And what did that kid say to Jesus? He said, Rabbi, all these things I've kept from my youth. Listen, he may not have been lying to Jesus in action. Okay, watch this. Jesus said to him, go sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. Ladies and gentlemen, can you inherit eternal life by selling everything you have? Exactly. Jesus was saying to him, you got gods in your life. The very first commandment, dude, you can't even get over that hump right there because you got so much stuff. When he said, go sell everything you have, what does the Bible say? It says that the rich young ruler went away sad and sorrowful because he had great wealth. Gods. It's not evil to have wealth. It's evil to worship your wealth or power or youth or whatever it is. He was the rich young ruler. He was a yuppie. He had it all. And Jesus said, you lack something. If you put the Ten Commandments from the bottom up, he had a lot of them going for him, right? But listen, if you're climbing up a mountain cliff and you've got 10 links ahead of you, just you're almost there. And one link breaks. What's going to happen? You're going to go down. You might be in here tonight foolishly thinking, I've kept 7 of them. First of all, you're deluded, but that, we'll give you that. You got to understand something. Well, you say, well, wait a minute. I've never committed adultery. Jesus said, he interprets the law. Jesus interprets the law. And he says, I tell you, you've heard that it's been said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you look at a man or a woman and lust after them in your heart, you've committed adultery. You see, God knows the heart. So the Ten Commandments stands there and says, this is the righteousness of God. No man passes by here. The Ten Commandments are perfect. I am imperfect. God is holy. I'm unholy. I'm separated from my God who made me by the law. How are we going to get over this? How are we going to make it? Can we be saved? Oh, yeah. You'll have to come back next week for that one, but no one can keep the Ten Commandments. Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Wow. Galatians 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Is that amazing? Psalm, now listen to this. David, I tell you, that guy, he was amazing. Psalm 119:97. David says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You guys, David didn't have the New Testament. David had the first five books of the Bible. The first five books. David read the first five books and he went, yes. Now, I got to tell you something. I am really, as a side note, when I read that, I can relate. This is the first time in my Christian experience where I can read Psalm 119:97 and I kind of got a glimmer of what David's talking about. Because this time me going through the Bible, I'm having a private time going through the first five books of the Bible. And I'm seeing stuff in there that I've never seen before. About God's grace, about his love, about his mercy, about his abundance. He is so, it's amazing to me. Deuteronomy has been blowing my mind. He's so incredibly affectionate and patient. The people were just absolutely poking him in the eye and slapping him and provoking him. And he's just patient. He's waiting, he's waiting, he's waiting. Psalm 119:165. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Isn't that amazing? Can anyone keep the Ten Commandments? No. They're holy. We are unholy. Are we lost forever? No. Number three, why the Ten Commandments? This question. So what's the purpose then of the Ten Commandments? What's the purpose? The Ten Commandments of God stand as a constant witness, as it were, against mankind's sinfulness. The Ten Commandments expose our nature. They test our hearts. Listen, they bring about conviction of sin. The Ten Commandments. You're to love God above all things. You and I struggle with that. Galatians 3:23 says, but before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law. Conviction. Kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Verse 24, therefore, the law was our tutor. The word in Greek is pedagogus. Some of your Bibles say schoolmaster. That's a very good word. Schoolmaster. A tutor sounds sweet. That's not a really good translation. The word pedagogus means a stern schoolmaster. You know the one with the ruler that snaps your fingers? A lot of young kids in here don't know what I'm talking about. Do you remember when we were in school? You young people, listen to this. When we messed up in school, I used to have a teacher, Mr. Boranian. He'd say, put your hands on your desk. And you'd put your hands on your desk, and he would take that wooden 12-inch ruler and bend it back, and boom, let that thing go. And the last thing you ever wanted to do is for your parents to find that out. Because your parents would get their 12-inch ruler and do your other hand. Oh, man, that was when school was rocking, huh? That was when nobody mouthed off in those days. Remember, we were paranoid to chew gum. Was that gum? Nope. Remember that? Anyway, I'm digressing. Romans 7:11 says, for sin, this is Paul speaking, Romans 7:11 to 14, for sin, take an occasion, listen to this, this is deep, take an occasion by the commandment, deceived me. Not the commandment, sin. Sin will use the law to condemn you. God will use the commandment to save you. Big difference. Listen to this. And by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good. So that sin, through the commandment, might become exceedingly sinful. That is, the Ten Commandments, the commandments of God, exposes, turns the light on sinful thoughts and conduct. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. And Paul, of course, goes on to say his deliverance as we begin to wrap this up. Four, it's our end right here. Is the Ten Commandments relevant for our day? I'm going to be working on some graphs. I've got a couple of people working on some graphs, and we're trying to make them look decent. Is the Ten Commandments relevant for today? You guys, you should see, and if you have the time, go ahead and research it yourself. You should see teen pregnancy, for example, prior to 1962 and after 1962. You should see violence in the United States. Youth violence prior to 1962, violence after 1962. Just go down the list. Murder, marriages, divorce, prior to 1962, after 1962. See, what do you keep, what's 62? And 1962 was the launch of the attack upon God, the God is dead movement. Remember that? And that's when we were in school and we couldn't pray anymore in school, when we came back from that summer break. And you look at the statistics now after all these years of the damage that removing God from our country has caused. I think I normally would have hesitated to say this before, but I don't hesitate to say it anymore. In the last 2 years, maybe three, if you back up and look at the catastrophic natural events that are taking place in America, I can't help but believe that God has finally listened to us when we as a culture said, get out of our courts, get out of our schools, get out of our government. And in many churches across America, I think they've even said, get out of our churches. I think God's left. When you see what's happening in our food belt of America, we haven't even come to that road yet. All the stuff that's taking, natural disasters, unbelievable stuff. You say, man, that's kind of like crazy. You know, we have been blessed by God for so long. And you cannot say he's not been patient. You cannot say that he has not been kind. But we have gone down a path that I think the Lord has said, I think he's offshore waiting for an invitation. It's a sad thing. Yes, the Ten Commandments are relevant for our day. The Ten Commandments is a constant reminder of what Jesus Christ has done for us at the cross, you guys. The Ten Commandments is a constant reminder that you and I need a payment for our sin debt. Ten Commandments, that's why people hate the Ten Commandments. It's the Ten Commandments that causes me to realize and to discern and understand I'm in trouble and I need Jesus. I need forgiveness of sins. And that's why it's vital that we go through this series. We need a revival in our understanding of the Ten Commandments. We need to teach them to our kids. Parents, this is your job. Grandma, grandpa, this is your job. To teach them to our children. We're commanded to in Deuteronomy 6. There's nothing greater. And I'd like to ask, as I did a moment ago, I'll just elaborate on it. I'd like to ask my culture a couple of questions. Since we have officially removed prayer from our schools, what kind of schools do we have? Since we removed the Ten Commandments from our courtrooms, what kind of justice have we seen in our country? You see, it's the Ten Commandments that will convict someone of a bribe, you know, because that's a form of lie. Our system is a mockery in the world today. If you have enough money, you can get off. And as I open this up, I'll ask it again, what's so wrong about teaching the Ten Commandments publicly to our kids? What's so wrong about that? Well, separates the church and state. Yeah, you find that somewhere and I might listen to you. What's wrong with trying to protect a culture? When somebody says in a humanistic, existentialist worldview, things like, whatever feels good to you, you do it. Do you understand that that's animalistic? Did you know you can't build a culture like that? I'll prove it to you right now. If you say, well, you create your own reality, what's good for you, you do. What's good for me, I'll do. Doesn't the Bible say, watch out, when every man does what is right in his own eyes? You know why that doesn't work? First of all, even the people who teach it, they would never allow that in their own lives. Isn't it funny that in tyrannical, dictatorial countries, the dictator is a billionaire. Right? Isn't it interesting? They'll preach it, but they won't live it. And so when our culture says it's the survival of the fittest, you're just an animal, you climbed out of a primordial mud hole long time ago, and you're just a very exotic, well-developed animal, then that would, by nature, imply that you have no morality. Because morality demands, like our founding fathers, Thomas Jefferson said, that our morality is based upon the natural laws of God. Because humans have a morality. The moment you say, well, I don't believe in what you're saying, and I don't think it's right, you can't criticize me because you're a humanist. I can criticize you because I'm a Christian. It's true. My God is a judge, and this is what he says. If you're a humanist, you say, no, you're wrong. You can't say I'm wrong. Because if you say everything came about by an accident, then I don't have to listen to you because your thinking is an accident, if I believe your story. Amen. Think about this. It doesn't work. And so when we say, well, you know, whatever feels good for you, do it. And so we have a guy who loads up his gun and walks up to Congresswoman Gabrielle Gifford and puts a gun to her head and pulls the trigger because he's only acting like an animal. And she may have a greater morality, but he's got a bigger gun. And in that humanistic view, you can't fault him for that. What are you going to charge him with? Attempted murder? On what grounds are you going to charge him? Who says? On what laws are you basing that? How can you arrest that man for that? You have to sin against your own thinking. You have to take a Judeo-Christian worldview law from Scripture. That's law in the United States, based upon the natural law of nature's God, arrest this guy for attempted murder, even though you've taught him to be an animal. Are you with me? Are you following this? You can't do that to him. Our culture, because we've rejected God, is intellectually and morally dishonest. God made you. That makes you of infinite worth. And the reason why we don't put guns to people's heads is because, listen, that's not right. Well, who says? Because God honors life, and no one's got that power to murder. Before God, you say, well, people do it all the time. They'll stand before God. The sanctity of life.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson called Why the Ten Commandments. Now, this is an introductory study of the topical series that we're presenting over the next few weeks here on Real Radio. Again, if you can, set yourself a reminder to be with us every day because this is a real meaty issue, the Ten Commandments. Again, the title of today's message, Why the Ten Commandments. It's part of Pastor Jack's series through this exploration of the summary of God's law, if you will. And we'll continue with more of it on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, we presented Pastor Jack's series through the New Testament book of James, and it was a good one. Now, if you missed it or you missed any part of it, here's the good news. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD, so you can listen to it anytime, day or night. That's Pastor Jack's entire series through the book of James, all on an MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to the outreach of Real Radio. Simply visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org, and you'll see right where to point and click. It's no big deal. Realradioactive.org. Or you can give us a call if you'd like. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.